Great to stand before you this morning. Isn't it a wonderful thing on the first day of the week that we can come together to worship God? It's truly a blessing. I know there are visitors here, and this congregation considers you their honored guest, and they truly do want you to stand around, and they will take the opportunity to visit you. I know in some congregations they tell you to stand around, and you do, they never come to you, but this congregation, I like that. They truly want to get to know you, and they want you to get to know them. It's always a pleasure to be here at Lindale. Wayne, when he asked me if I want to preach, I'm always hesitant because I always want to hear him. And it's always a treat for me to hear Wayne Fancher preach, and it's also a treat for me to hear Reagan McClenny preach. As people keep telling me, I have big shoes to fill, and I'm tickled about it. That's just a compliment, and I appreciate that. It is a blessing to have two preachers with knowledge and enthusiasm. I don't know about you, but when I go to a place and a guy gets up there and he acts like he's at a funeral, then there's something wrong, brother. I want to tell him, get excited about it, buddy. Get with it. We need to be excited about the Word of God. And Wayne Fancher and Reagan McClenny are excited about God's Word. It's not a depressing thing to preach and teach the gospel. It's an exciting thing. Because God's Word is powerful. And God's Word is so powerful that it can save people's soul. And if you can't get fired up about that, you just can't get fired up. I ran across, every once in a while I was looking for some material in Joshua through 2 Chronicles. And it was in one of my filing cabinets. And ran across a letter from a guy that's now an elder in one of the churches in Tampa. His name is Tim Morris. And we knew him when we were going to Florida College. And when Jamie and I went to college in Florida, one of the first persons we ran into was a guy named Wayne Fancher. And we both became very good friends of Wayne's. So he sent us a little note giving us directions to his apartment. This was the following year after we came. And we were in our second year of Florida, and he went to Gainesville, University of Florida. And in that note he gave directions, because we're going to stay at his house and spend a weekend at a gospel meeting. D. Bowman was holding a meeting up there. And, of course, Jamie, myself, Jeff Young and Wayne were going to go up there. And the funny thing about it is he had it addressed to the Texas delegation. Well, three of us were from Texas, but they always thought Wayne was from Texas, even though he was from Mississippi. It was very appropriate for Wayne Fancher to end up in Lindale, Texas. If you have your Bibles or a New Testament, I invite you to turn to Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And, the very obvious point that we can make here is these fruits of the Spirit, there's not a law against doing them. There's a law against doing a lot of things. But if we involve ourselves with these fruits of the Spirit, I don't believe we're going to be arrested. Unless there's a great persecution going on in the land. There's not a law against doing these things. And I want to address this morning the fruit of the Spirit of faithfulness. It's the virtue of reliability. Isn't that a quality that we need today? People that we can actually count on. that we can depend on, that are truly reliable. Vine defines it as being trustworthy, being reliable. Barclay, as it says, it's the quality of reliability, trustworthiness, which makes a man a person on whom we can utterly rely and whose word we can utterly accept. Brethren, if we are truly faithful Christians, we should be persons that can be utterly relied on, and our word should be our bond. If we say that we're going to do something, we're going to do it. All things being equal, we're going to do what we say we're going to do. And we live in a world that is not that way. But we do not need to be like the world. We need to be faithful to the Lord to such an extent that faithfulness is a virtue that becomes a part of our character. Our reputation should be, and that's what other people say about us, that person is a trustworthy, reliable person. But our character, and that's how we really are, should also be that when God evaluates us, when we evaluate ourselves, we understand the point, and God understands that we're totally reliable and dependable. God can count on us. We're loyal, we're dependable, we're trustworthy. Thayer says, it's of persons who show themselves faithful in transition of business. Now, wouldn't that be nice? Somebody's actually faithful in transition of business. Execution of communication. In other words, we'll fulfill what we say we're going to do. And discharge of duty. In other words, what we say we're going to do, we do. We fulfill it. Faithfulness really is appreciated in all walks of life. In my business, when somebody tells me, and construction people are some of the worst people to have to deal with in the school business. You'll call them up and say, "Where are you?" And they say, "We'll be here tomorrow." Well, in my business, that means in 2 weeks. But it should mean tomorrow. It's always tomorrow. Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. Glenn can relate. But when somebody says that they're going to do something, in the world, they'll just lie to you. They'll say they're going to fulfill something and they never fulfill it. So in every avenue of life, it is a quality that people appreciate. But it's extremely important that Christians, when we have genuine faith, the faith that was once delivered unto the saints, we know Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we're truly in tune spiritually, then we're going to develop this quality of reliability. And it implies that we'll have the faith and the knowledge and the application to fulfill what we say we're going to do. It implies obligation. It involves an object of fulfillment that we have. It involves a responsibility to God, not just to our fellow man. You see, when we have the concept of reliability and dependability, it not only involves fulfilling what we're saying to another person or persons, but it involves saying that I'm going to do what I say I'm going to do because I want to be faithful to God. It implies the idea of steadfastness. And we have the divine example because of God's faithfulness. You see, God, if he says he's going to do something, he has always fulfilled it. He is indeed the divine example of this steadfastness. And it's independent of man's faith as far as God fulfilling what he says he's going to do. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 3, if you want to turn with me. Son's had an influence on me. I tend to go through the passages real quickly, and as Jimmy Diesel said, it's nice to hear those pages turning. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 3, what if some were unfaithful? Does their faithlessness nullify the faithfulness of God? And the answer is obvious. No. If we are unfaithful, that does not nullify the faithfulness of God. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9, God is faithful by whom you were called. A passage that we go to a lot to try to encourage Christians to keep on keeping on is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. You know, we can't say, okay, that's a new temptation. That's a new one on the list. Nobody else has ever been tempted. Well, it's just not so. Because no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Now, I don't know about you, but that's encouraging to me. That God will actually give me a way of escape that I will be able to endure any temptation that comes my way. The term temptation, you have to determine from the context what it means, if it means God tempting us or the devil tempting us. But in a practical sense, we are tried and tempted by God. He wants us to go through these trials, as Wayne discussed in Bible class this morning, because it tries our faith. Faith, work of patient hope. But in a real sense, we go through these trials. In the midst of that trial, that's where the devil gets involved. He will try or test us, which means to solicit us to sin against God. He puts the bait out there. We're all drawn away and enticed or deceived. That's the devil's work. And it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's full grown, bringeth forth death. So in the midst of this trial of our faith, the devil tries to get us to sin. But the Bible teaches that God will provide us a way of escape, and we will not be tempted above that which we are able. That we can handle. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. The Hebrew writer says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11, by faith Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age, since she considered Him faithful who had promised. And you remember Abraham, they both laughed. The difference between Abraham, his chuckle was a chuckle that I have faith that God is, what He says is true. But when you're 99 years old, it would be kind of a shock that you're fixing to have a child. I still remember when Mother and Dad called us into their bedroom and gave, I was 12 and I was the fifth child. And I had a sister that was 19. They called us in and said, "Oh, by the way, we're going to have another baby." And mother had a look of horror. And I think daddy had kind of gotten all over the shot because he had a silly grin on his face. Isn't it amazing what you remember as a child? And then you blink and that child is 38 years old. That's how life is. But Abraham was shocked, but he had faith God fulfilled what he said he would do. Sarah's problem is she didn't believe it. And then later on she did believe. And she understood she would have a baby at 90 years old. That's when God says that it's going to happen. It happens. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." I like how the NIV translates this. It says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles." We need, brethren, to throw off anything that hinders. Get rid of it. Faithfulness demands that we get rid of the things that stand in our way spiritually. I love Reagan's illustration about his friend that had a problem with looking at the internet. And Reagan told him, "You need to get rid of it if it's going to stand in your way." And then I think the next day he goes out there and the computer's been thrown out on the sidewalk and is all broken. Now that seemed radical, but you know something, brother? Sometimes it takes radical measures to get rid of something that's clinging to us, that's a hindrance to us. And we do need sometimes be radical. The Lord talked about spiritual surgery when he says, "If your hand offends, cut it off." He's talking about spiritual surgery. And sometimes we need spiritual surgery. And we need to get rid of the thing that so easily entangles. Because when we let it stay there and we don't get rid of it, it just keeps on pulling us down into the mire. And then the next thing you know, we've lost our faith and we've fallen away from the Lord. But you know, it doesn't have to be that way. Because God has given us, through His faithfulness, a way of escape that we can endure it. Because notice verse 2. It says, "Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." I don't know about y'all, but that also gives me encouragement. Because I can look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of my faith, and I know that he endured a whole lot more than I'll ever endure. I don't care from this point onward how bad it gets. I could never endure what the Lord endured. The cruel cross of Calvary was an absolute brutal death. The Romans made it that way. But the NIV translates this way. It says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus." And if we'll do that, if we will truly fix our eyes on Jesus, look at that great example that we have of Jesus. How when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he was tempted, he sinned not. He did have sometimes righteous indignation. The advantage he had is he could read people's heart and know if their heart was right or not. And what we have to do is use our best judgment based upon people's actions. Whether we need to go to them and talk to them and say, you're going in the wrong direction. You need to go in a spiritual direction or you're going to lose your soul. We have to have a love for the souls of men. But the fact is, we can count on God. We can count on His power. We can count on His promises. And ladies and gentlemen, we can count on His help. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Secondly, we can count on the Word of God. Did you know if we did not have the Word of God, the only thing we'd know is there is a God? Because the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth His handiwork. We know by nature, we know by this universe, it just screams out there is a God. But we wouldn't know anything about Jesus. We would know nothing about the Holy Spirit if we did not have the Word of God. The Word of God is the thing that has the power of salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Romans 1 and verse 16. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, if you want to turn there. 'The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost.'" Paul would have been without hope if it hadn't been for Christ. If Paul would have remained Saul of Tarsus, and had gone out and continued to persecute Christians, hauled them to jail, killed them, he would have lost his soul. But thanks be to God that he was on the road to Damascus and a great light shined greater than the sun. And Paul had the humbleness to say, "Who art thou, Lord?" Do you realize that he did not have to say that? He could have just continued to be obstinate and not said a thing. But he wanted to know, "Who art thou, Lord?" And then he had the realization of what he had done when he said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goats." And then he had enough humility and repentance to say, "What would you have me to do, Lord?" And he said, "Go into the city and I will tell you what you must do." And then he did. He was blinded and he went into the city. And God sent him a preacher, a man named Ananias. And he came to him and said, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." God's word is powerful. God's word is reliable and faithful. We can count on the word. In Titus 1 and verse 9, "Holding fast the faithful word, as it hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers." We can count on the Word of God. In Revelation 21, we're going to start reading at verse 5. "And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also, he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Compare that with Revelation 20. That's where people that are faithless go. But in Revelation 20, starting verse 12, notes, and I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you think just because we're part of a local congregation that we're going to all get on a little cart and be ushered into heaven? God knows who are His. He has a book of life. But that's the book of life is what tells God who the saved are universally. All the saved everywhere. In the local congregation, you have some that are not of His. But you know, we don't have to be that way. We can do something about it. The Word of God allows us to be able to study it and change our lives. We don't have to. If we're weak, we don't have to keep being weak. I remember I only had a temptation not to come to service one time. It was right after I became a Christian. And it was on a Sunday night, and I didn't want to go. So I was sitting in Mother and Dad's living room. And Mother came by and said, well, you're not dressed. And I said, well, I don't think I'm going to go tonight. And she said, get dressed and come on. You need to go on and be at service. And you know what I did? I got dressed and came. And I sure was glad I did. And I've never been tempted again not to attend services. Sometimes we need a little prod, don't we? And encouragement. It might not be from a motherly hand or a motherly voice. But sometimes, brethren, we need to be encouraged. We need somebody to say, we missed you. And we need to have good attitudes about it. Why can't we just say sometimes, I missed you too. I'm going to be there next time. We need to encourage one another in the faith. We need to get back to reading the Word of God every single day. We need to get back to praying to God not only every single day, but throughout the day. I don't know about y'all, but I need help throughout the day. I'll give you a solution if you can't sleep at night. When you wake up, start praying. And don't feel guilty if you fall asleep again. You're in the hands of a living God. Wake up in the night. Can you comprehend how Christ prayed throughout the night? If you get a glimpse of it, when you wake up in the night, pray. And pray and pray. The worries that are on your mind, pray about them. And then a funny thing will happen. You'll be asleep in the hands of God. Brethren, we have a Savior that is our faithful high priest. We can depend on God. We can depend on the Word of God. We can depend on Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 2, 17 and 18, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. In 2 Timothy 2, verses 11 through 13 is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. I went to a funeral the other day. It's one of my board members' mama. 102 years old. Could you imagine living to 102? The granddaughter got up and she said, I am the oldest granddaughter. I'm 51 years old. Isn't it wonderful to be middle-aged? And I thought, well, I don't know. You might not live as long as your grandmother. But at that funeral, I saw a lady, I'm friends with her husband. Got to know him at the golf course in Roaring Springs, Texas. His name is Tex. Tex, I guess, has been a chain smoker all his life. Finally had to quit. I think he quit 3 years ago when he found out he had emphysema. And she said, Larry, I want you to talk to Tex next time you see him. I can't get him out to do anything. She said he walks 14 steps. That's about all he can walk before he has to get his oxygen. And I said, well, you tell Tex I'm going to come by and see him. But what I'm going to tell him is if he needs to get more exercise. And she said, well, he can't exercise. I said, well, if he can do 14 steps, tell him tomorrow do 15 steps. And then the next day, 16. And then the next day, 17. Isn't that how our Christianity is sometimes? Maybe you're at 14 steps. But sometimes it's time to get on to 15th step. It's time to grow up a little bit. Be more spiritual. And you know, you can do it. Can anybody not take the 15th step? Now, it'd be tough for Tex. But if he'll just do it, I think he can make 15 steps. You can only build a house one brick at a time. But you got to start building. And we can be faithful to God. We can do it. Everybody can do it. Are you going to be here tonight? I would if I could, but I can't. I could if I would, but I won't. We need to have the attitude that I'm going to do everything I can to be here. Because I will have the privilege of singing songs with the saints, praying with one another, and hearing the Word of God preached. I don't know about you, Sister Renly, but I can't think of a better place to be than to be here and be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. What an exciting thing to be able to do. And you young people, a lot of us, we've been on the other side. It brings nothing but pain and misery. But the spiritual side brings hope, faithfulness, the love of God, and the hope of heaven. And I don't know about you, but I want to go to heaven. And let's all try to go to heaven together so we can sing praises forever with God. If you owe a duty to God, here's a great opportunity to do something about it while together we stand.